You're listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. I'm an intuitive, astrologer, writer, and mother, but mostly I'm a gal navigating spirituality in a refreshingly real and honest way. Join me as I share weekly energetic insights and laugh out loud real moments of my personal journey into more heart, more soul, and a whole lot of fun along the way. Hello and happy Friday. Oh my gosh, I have so much to share with you. But before we dive into today's ep, I want to thank you all for listening. I received the most, I don't even know what word to describe it as, like insane feedback from my producers last week that Soul Talk has hit 22,500 downloads. And I've been sitting with that and trying to imagine that many people in a room. And I was watching... This is crazy. I was watching the Ed Sheeran documentary over the weekend and he was talking about filling out a stadium of 60,000 people. And I was like, far out, that's a lot of people. And then it clocked. There's been a third of that amount of people listening. Here's where I become pragmatic. It's like, no, it's not unique people. The way that stats for podcasts work are it's each download. So anytime you have listened to any of the apps, so if you've listened to all 25 apps, that counts as 25 downloads. But still, it's averaging 500 people listening an episode. What? Thank you for being one of those people. It's when I started Soul Talk, it was the intention to share stories, and it's obviously changed over time. And now it's at a point where it's my favorite part of my work. Truly, it's my favorite part. I love sitting here and talking life out with all of you, receiving insight and feedback and having conversation in this way. I know it's a very unique way in which I do it because I'm talking on my own about life in general. It's not interview-based like many, many others. But it's just a real testament to showing up and why I do it. So thank you for listening. That's what I wanted to say first. Thank you for listening. And also, I've got to say, thank you for your reviews and ratings and for sharing, to share with a friend and say, have a listen to this, because that's how this work grows. And it just truly, it means so much. If you have ever done any of those things, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I hope I get to hug you in person one day and say thank you, because it just means a lot. Oh my gosh, should we do a Soul Talk in-person event? That could be fun. Let me know if you're curious about that, because that will take some planning, but I'm into it. If we want to do that, we could do it here on the Northern Rivers somewhere fun. Soul Talk Live? Oh my God, that could actually be such a vibe. We could start with cacao. Oh my gosh, I am having all of the ideas right now. This is happening literally in the moment. If you are keen for Soul Talk Live, an event on the Northern Rivers, some of you will definitely have to travel, obviously. I could maybe take it to Sydney as well. What do I mean, maybe? I could take it to Sydney. No maybes about it. Let me know if I get enough feedback. Many of you might be like, no, Holly, you're getting ahead of yourself. But I just want to meet you guys in person, if I haven't already. It's purely selfish. Okay. Speaking of taking this to Sydney, I want to talk about an experience or two I had on my recent trip to Sydney. So Thursday to Saturday last week, I had a very, very quick Sydney trip. Me and my best friend, Leah, who I speak about all the time. You're probably sick of hearing about her. Soz mate. And her sister-in-law / my friend, Shani, who was actually one of the first episodes in season one. So if you haven't listened to my beautiful and very deeply moving interview with Shani, you can go back and have a listen to that through the season one episodes. Shani her story is unbelievable, but I'll let you go and experience that for yourself. So the three of us booked tickets to see Mamma Mia the musical, and we booked these tickets at Christmas time. It was Shani's Christmas present, part of their family, KK, for Christmas. She had Leah. And I remember at the time in December booking these tickets, and I was still so in the postpartum bubble where in my mind I was like, okay, so Trent and my little girl will have to come to Sydney with me because I wasn't ready to leave her yet. And it was this whole thing. And flash forward to last week, and I was like, see you guys, left them up on the Northern Rivers, had my two nights away in Sydney by myself without a child or a husband. It was great. I'm not going to lie. I missed them to death. And there was a reason reason I didn't stay longer than two nights. It was like I just wanted to fly in, fly out. But I did have a fabulous time. I had such a great time. I went along as it was a very humbling experience for me. If you saw on my social media, you'd know. I stayed with my sister the first night. And my sister is like this massive TikTok star. I don't know if you guys are on TikTok, but she gets recognized all the time more than me. It's like deeply triggering for me. Because I used to be the person, I still am to a degree, but she's like the Gen Z's froth my sister. She's Zig's mom on Instagram and on her TikTok, and she does fashion influencing. And she took me as her plus one to the launch of F Boy Island, which is Abby Chatfield's new show. And if you know me, you know I love some Abby Chatfield, especially if you listen to my other podcast. I was like constantly on the defense for Abby. I just think she's a vibe. Anyway, so I had a humbling experience when I went along to that as my sister's plus one, and she was the influencer literally on the paparazzi list. They had all the photos of the influencers at the event. So when they walked the red carpet, they could take photos of them. And I was a nobody. And it was fine. This isn't the point of the story, by the way. I just thought I'd set the scene. It was like, this is so wild. 3 years ago, this was me. And now it's like, who are you? What do you do? I was like, I'm an astrologer. I'm a writer. Abby's like, what did you write a book on? And I was like, people pleasing. Like, so awkward. Anyway, we had that event on the Thursday night. And then I went to Mamma Mia on the Friday night. And, you know, a couple of gals getting together for the first time in a long time, child-free. It was the first time I'd been to Hugo's in Manly for literal years. Had a few margaritas, probably had about four margaritas, I've got to be honest with you. Got on the ferry. It was the first night of Vivid. It was beautiful. Like, the whole experience is beautiful. Went to Mamma Mia, the musical. And there was a song, and I should have reminded myself of the song because there are so many good ABBA tracks. P.S. Like the whole musical, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, this is ABBA as well. This is ABBA as well. Like insane. And it was in the second half of the show that a song came on and everyone, oh, it was this one. When you're gone, how can I even try to go on? That one. Beautiful singing by me. Haven't done my vocal warm-ups. And everyone was singing. Everyone was singing along. It's Mamma Mia, the musical. Of course, you're going to sing along. Me and my friend Shani, who is the quintessential Leo, like more Leo than I will ever be, we were doing the backing vocals. So we had our bottles of water because we couldn't drink anymore. And the act would go, when you're gone. And me and Shani would go, when you're gone. You know, the backing bit. Yeah, look, we got in trouble. The security came over. Literally, we were like mid one of the back rows. She had a torch shining on us in front of everyone, comes up to us. Fair enough if we were being a little bit disruptive with our singing in our drink bottles, backing vocals. And she approached us with such anger. The way that she came at us was energetically first very confronting. I was like, oh my God. My friend Leah, who was with us, she's like, I genuinely thought someone was having a heart attack on the other side of us and she was storming through to get to a person to help them. Like that was the energy that came through. She stood at the front of us and she was like, it's all well and good that you guys are having a fun time, but you have to stop singing into your drink bottles like that. And then she stormed back off again. And Sean and I just shrank in our seats. We were like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. This is so embarrassing. Now, I need to tell you guys a few things to just set context, okay? Never was there any at the beginning of the musical. I've been seeing musicals since I was a little girl. It's my dad's job. It's now my cousin's job. They're musical directors. It's just a whole thing. At the beginning of a show, when they tell you to turn off your mobile phones, they also tell you if you're not able to sing or dance along. They do this for Moulin Rouge the musical as a prime example. So you don't sing or dance along. That didn't happen with Mamma Mia. Secondly, the whole group of people, everyone, was singing along to that song. Firstly, I clearly have a lot to say. This is my shadow of this full moon coming out because it's like, I'm right, you're wrong. I need to catch myself in it. But I really have a point to make here. Firstly, I need to let my dog out. If you go to a Mamma Mia musical and you're sitting there and they're singing a song like that and you don't feel any kind of pull to sing along, that makes me sad. It actually does. It makes me sad. I can understand people talking loudly and obnoxiously. I can definitely understand that. That's very distracting. I can understand you've gone to see live theater or a deeply moving movie or even any movie in general, and someone pulls out their phone or they're chatting away obnoxiously. Like, I get that. I get that. But when you're at a live musical and it is one of the most catchy songs in the world and you're literally harmlessly singing along into your drink bottles, the fact that that was reason enough to get in trouble, and that literally is what happened. Like, we were in trouble and we were given a warning basically to stop what we were doing and stop having fun. I have an issue with that. I do. But it gets more interesting. Sorry, I just had to close the door after my dog again. It gets more interesting. I get a message because I obviously then, you know, we enjoyed the rest of the musical. The very final five songs, everyone was allowed to stand on their feet and sing and dance, and everyone did. So that was great. That was a bit of a reprieve, although me and Sean had already been scarred by getting in trouble beforehand. So we're like, I don't know if we're allowed to do this, but everyone else was, so we did. On a very famous public national radio show this morning, one of the co-hosts said that her experience at Mamma Mia on Friday night was, and I quote, ruined by all of the people in the audience who wanted to sing along and use their hands to dance along. Ruined her experience at Mamma Mia the musical. Again, I'm trying really hard to not be in the shadow Sag energy of this full moon. I'm trying so hard. I'm really trying to come from a place of understanding while also not being defensive, because obviously it wasn't just me and Sean singing and dancing along. There were many other people. I don't know if we were the only people that got in trouble for it, but there you go. But there's an issue. There is an underlying issue here if that is something that ruins your experience of going and seeing a live musical that's about ABBA. Someone else singing along. I can understand standing up and blocking your view. I get that. That was not what happened in our experience at all. We were literally singing along for half of a song into our drink bottles. And then a few songs later, everyone got to stand up and do it anyway. So that's the first piece that I sat with, and I was like, it just leaves me feeling a bit uncomfortable that is reason enough to make people angry and to get people in trouble. And I do think part of it is off the back of the last 3 years and where, you know, you have to go to music festivals and not sing along. Like, I just don't even get me started with that. Just think it's ludicrous and madness. But I honestly think that people have forgotten how to experience joy. That's the line I'm drawing here. I think people have forgotten what joy is like, and the opposing energy to joy is anger. And so then we're reverting to anger at other people's joy that is triggering for us. I saw it as well when I landed in Sydney. And PS, I do want to say disclaimer, I'm not shitting on Sydney. I am shitting on city, highly concentrated energy, where I think collectively people have lost touch with what actually matters and where anger has been displaced and misdirected. So the example I was going to give is, I hopped off the plane at Sydney Airport with my dream and my cardigan. I hopped off the plane. I went and lined up for my Uber in the express priority pickup. My Uber, rather than pulling into one of the little Uber bays, just kind of stopped out the front of where I was, and I jumped in her car. And as I jumped in, another Uber driver wound their window down and proceeded to abuse my Uber driver for not using the turning bay and making it difficult for them to turn. And my sweet, lovely Uber driver was so rattled by that. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know why they had to yell at me like that. I would have moved if they wanted me to move. They just had to ask. And I was like, you do not have to explain yourself to me. That was unjustified and misdirected anger. This is one of the reasons, I got to be honest, why I kind of come in and out of Sydney energy and I choose to be really deliberate with how long I spend there. And I'm wondering if it's the same in any other big cities, because I've been out of a big city life now for 2.5 years, and I'm finding it more and more jarring when I return. And I love all of my friends and family to death. And if it weren't for them, I would not be returning. I would never go to Sydney for a holiday. I don't go to Sydney for a holiday. I go to see the people that I love. That's why I go to Sydney. I would love if the people that I love didn't live there anymore, to be honest. And it's not, again, not shitting on Sydney, but it is shitting on the collective energy of misdirected anger, of fast-paced energy, and an out of touch energy as well. It's very, very out of touch with what's happening in the world. Again, if you live in Sydney and love it, please know I am not talking to you about you personally. I understand that I lived in Sydney for 30 years. I understand it is a beautiful place to live. And also, just coming now from the perspective of living out of that energy for a long period of time, it is so jarring. It is incredibly jarring to be back in an energy that is impatient, that is judgmental. Oh my gosh, the keeping up of appearances. The most curious thing actually happened to me energetically, and it's happened the last two trips, and I flagged it with Trenny, and he's like, "Are you sure it's not just because you're on an aeroplane?" I'm like, "I'm telling you, it's not." Anytime I'm in Sydney, my solar plexus, my gut, churns right up and I bloat to no end. I feel deeply uncomfortable in my stomach, and it lasts the entire time I'm in Sydney, and then I get home and it goes away and my stomach is completely like back to how it usually is normally. And it's energy. It's my solar plexus reacting to this energy of misdirected collective anger. And I also understand that a lot of people have a lot to be angry about, especially when you're living in a city like Sydney, where interest rates are making it impossible, near impossible, for people to live harmoniously and happily, where all of these, financially, it's becoming a really fucking stressful time. People are needing to work jobs that are taking them away from their families, and they're needing to pay for their children's care, for their jobs to be able to be worked, but then they're not even making ends meet. There's a lot to be angry about. I get that. I get that. And especially off the back of, I do also think there's highly collective PTSD energy around lockdowns and how ludicrous those few years were and how unfair they were to communities. And I don't know that it's been properly looked at that people are experiencing this. And so when the woman driving past my Uber driver abusing her in the airport, or, you know, someone in a musical that's gone to see, it gets the shits with someone else singing along to one of the songs, like, that points to misdirected anger and an inability to actually move that through in a way that feels embodied and constructive. So that's what I wanted to speak to. How do we experience anger in a way that isn't lashing out at someone else, that isn't taking it out on another person, or that isn't in this reactive way where, you know, you go and see a musical and someone sings along and it's a little bit annoying, but not enough for you to say it's ruined your entire experience, or not enough for a security guard to be, you know, quite aggressive, rather than like just waving their hand and saying, "Hey, keep it down." You know, there are ways that we can approach our energy so differently. And I think it's been forgotten, and we're taking it out on each other. And it's communities, or it's people against people, rather than communities coming together. And like, I don't know, I wonder if I'm sounding really Northern Rivers now, but I guess it's because I have experienced a different way of living for the last 2.5 years where, you know, your nervous system slows down up here, and people look out for each other, and people care about each other, and they care about, you know, making ends meet with you, and you're able to swap, you know, the eggs that your chickens have laid for the veg that your neighbors have grown. Like, it just, it's so Taurus season, or Taurus North Node of me. But let's have a look at some ways that we can firstly, you know, notice when anger is arising in our body and come to a place where it's being misdirected. And then how can we use it in a constructive way? So anger, it feels like heat in the body. It feels like fire. Yeah, when you're fiery. Anger, for me personally, when I'm feeling angry, it resides a lot in my solar plexus, in my stomach, and in my throat center, in those two parts where I feel really hot and constricted and uncomfortable. Anger is also an energy that wants to be moved. It doesn't want to be stagnated, and it definitely doesn't want to be suppressed. The thing that happens when we suppress something like anger is it is going to erupt. Think of a volcano and all that heat that builds beneath the surface until it can't hold that heat anymore. And so it bursts and tumbles forth. This is what happens with us in anger. If we hold on and suppress, don't allow us to feel anger for many, many years, however many instances. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, you will get to a point where you will erupt. And that eruption is not going to be in you or anyone else's favor. An eruption will look like you yelling at someone, potentially, especially someone that you love, lashing out at your family. Anger will look like, in its most extreme, anger looks like violence, which is definitely not something we want at all. Anger will look like, punching holes in the wall. Anger will look like, just like clenched fists and not knowing what to do with this hot rage. Anger will look like saying something like my whole experience was ruined, or being quite reactive to something that actually isn't the end of the world. Yeah. Now, anger and me last year were in a deep relationship. And what happened for me last year is, and this is actually something that happens for all mothers, especially when they cross that threshold from maidenhood to motherhood. It's been coined motherhood rage. I don't know that I like it, because it kind of slaps a banner on it and makes it the norm, so it's okay. But what actually happened in my experience was the anger was so hot and real in my experience of postpartum, the birth experience I had, the breastfeeding experience I had, the sleep deprivation and the trauma that was coming at me from all angles. It was bubbling over like a volcano, and I started, feeling so much anger that I actually cried a lot. I actually was inconsolable to the point of just crying, like every day for hours and hours and hours and hours, because I didn't know what to do with this anger and it was scaring me. There were moments where I wanted to throw things and I didn't, but I wanted to. There were moments where I wanted to yell, and I'm sure I did a few times, to be honest. And then I'd catch myself in this spiral of guilt. And I didn't know what to do with all this anger, but it was because for years beforehand, I hadn't let myself fully experience anger. And so when I was in therapy, part of the complex PTSD experience for me and the compound trauma that I'd experienced was I had held on to so much anger from my childhood, so much anger as to the way that I was raised. And I don't need to get into detail there, but it was a highly traumatic upbringing I had for a majority of my life. And I swallowed my anger for 25 plus years. I swallowed my anger. And especially, I'm talking to my people pleasers here, anyone with strong Libran charts, we are not good at letting ourselves feel anger. It is an uncomfortable emotion, and we want everyone else around us to feel comfortable. And so we slap a mask on. And what happens is it bubbles beneath the surface until one day we erupt. And my postpartum experience was my eruption. And the way that my therapist explained this as an element of compound trauma is you have a traumatic experience, and then you have another one, and then you just don't move through them, and you suppress and swallow, and they build up on top of one another until you add something else to the mix and it bubbles over. And that was what was happening with me. And so we had to look at ways that I could constructively relate to my anger and move it through, because there is a few things that would happen. Firstly, anger is a part of the human experience. We are going to feel angry from time to time. That's normal and okay. It doesn't make you a less than person. It actually makes you a human who's experiencing their emotions. And so I would say, firstly, by the way, before I talk to my own personal experience, disclaimer, if you are someone who can relate to what I've been sharing, seek out a therapist that is trauma-informed, that can hold you through the process of moving anger through. Because a lot of the time I see this, just yell in a pillow, and it's just not good enough. Because while well-meaning, and it is something that definitely helps, it's not trauma-informed enough to be able to hold you through the deep excavation work that actually needs to happen if you're having something like a compound trauma experience. I'm not even trauma-informed, so I can't tell you exactly what to do. I'm just talking about what helped me. And the first one is, if you are feeling angry and you don't know what to do with that energy and you are nervous that you're suppressing it, seek help. My therapist, as I've mentioned her before, also does family constellation work. And that was fantastic for me to have a look back through my lineage, my ancestors, and actually pass some of the anger that I was carrying back that was not mine. I passed a lot of anger back to different people in my family. And the weight that was lifted in that experience was profound. So again, having a look for someone who specializes in family constellation work that is trauma-informed, that can hold you through shifting through anger, is massive. Something else that helps me with anger, and when you're feeling something like hot rage and energy like this in the body, is it wants to be moved. It wants to be felt. So we want to use the energy in a constructive way. Moving your body is the first way to do that. And that could be going for a run or a really quick walk. That could be a really, you know, hot yoga class. Anything with heat is really, really going to serve this energy. It wants to be sweated out, getting in a sauna, right? Dry body brushing. Like, we want to sweat it out. We want to move this energy through. The other thing for me, as I mentioned, is I feel anger in my throat when it arises. So sounding is really good for me, and maybe for you too. You might feel a lump in your throat, or your words get caught in your throat. And so something known as toning, vocal toning, actually allows you to move energy through by using your voice. And I'm going to give an example because I literally give zero fucks. So if you think this is weird, good for you, but don't knock it till you try it. So if I'm feeling anger in my stomach, and I need to move it through vocal toning, I'm going to do something like this. Take a few deep breaths. Oh. And see how I'm adding noise and sound to the exhale. Oh. And I'm shaking my body. I'm shaking my body. I'm shaking my hands. I'm moving the energy through. If that feels a little bit too out there for you, what you can do instead is put some music on that you can be angry to. I've spoken about Alanis Morissette before. That's my go-to. Or any other music that allows you to sing at the top of your lungs. So instead of yelling and lashing out at a loved one, you are still moving that energy through in a way it wants to be moved, but in a way that's really constructive as well. Right? So like, I'm here to remind you, just singing at the top of your lungs. Like, that wasn't the top of my lungs because I got nervous. I was like, Holly, you're singing on the podcast, stop. But you catch my drift, right? If we have more people, also another way to do this is to shake your body. So putting on that music, sighing out, making the noise like, oh, and shaking your body everywhere, moving it through. There are going to be those of you who already do this that go, yes, yes. And there are going to be those of you listening to this like, that is so Northern Rivers. Holly has lost touch with reality. She is definitely not a Sydney gal anymore. But I no longer carry anger. I feel it. I move it through. I do not take it out on my loved ones. I might get snappy every now and then, but I don't yell at my child. And you know what? I refuse to, because that was my childhood. And I cannot tell you the damage that that has caused on me. The yelling and the emotional abuse and the violence that I experience through words. I will never do that to my child. And so it's on me to make sure that my anger is moved through in a way that's constructive and not going to lend itself to the behaviors of my parents, my caregivers, which was abusive because of their misdirected anger. And that's no fault of their, well, no, it actually is. I still love my parents, but we know better, we do better. And for me, it's like, well, I will not suppress my anger ever because I refuse to take it out on my little girl. I am not giving her an upbringing where she has to unravel 25 plus years of trauma because of the way she was spoken to, because I couldn't handle my own emotions. And that's the truth of it. Very triggering, right? And I mean, our children are our teachers, and you look at the kind of parent you want to be, and it's going to be different to the kind of parent I want to be. But for me, a massive one is I will not yell. I will not yell. I will not do that. I will not yell at her. I will not yell at Trenny. There will not be yelling in my home. It's just not happening. So, and that doesn't mean that I'm not going to fuck up sometimes and yell, PS guys, because I'm a human, but then that's going to be an indicator for me. Okay, Holly, you haven't been moving your anger through. You have some emotion that wants to be tended to. How are you going to do that? How are you going to sit with yourself and move this through? This is why something like a yoga practice is beautiful as well, because yoga is not just movement. Like, the different meridians in the body that yoga speaks to stored emotion. Like, oh my God, anytime I do a practice that's with my hips, I'm in tears because it stores anger and emotion. I'm pretty sure it's anger. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure there's anger and other blocked emotion there. Hip opening poses in a yoga class make people cry. It's not coincidental, my loves. This is how it works. We have lost so much touch with our nature, our innate being, that there is misdirected anger flying around left, right, and center. And we need to get back into our bodies and move it through. Because then when someone is, you know, cuts you off in traffic or, you know, is disrupting you and annoying you, you're less inclined to have your entire day ruined by that little moment and more inclined to have a moment and go, okay, and move on. And isn't that a better way to live? I think so. I hope you guys have a beautiful weekend. Catch yourself in this energy as it arises over the coming days and in the shadow period of this full moon as well. And maybe just take to one practice that can move this energy through and notice how good you feel afterwards. Tell you what, it feels so much better doing that than throwing something across the room or punching a wall, I can assume. I only assume. Sending you all my love, and I'll be back in your ears on Tuesday.
You've been listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Enjoyed today's ep? Remember to share, subscribe, and leave a little rating if you like what you heard. And join us over on Facebook. Just search Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Until next time.